following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Alrighty?
Alrighty.
Now we're ready to commence.
Alrighty.
Hey, it's 802.
Yeah, you guys have been live for like the last 2 minutes.
No way.
Everybody, and welcome to turn 81 of A Worthy Opponent, a Hearthstone podcast based on the Blizzard game. You got it, Hearthstone. This is a casual podcast. I will always say that because people always tell us that we're too casual or we're not elite. So we're not. And I am Black Lace. And with me is Micamac.
Well met, and well thank you met. Very much for coming back. It was hard being the captain without you. I'm not
Did
a
you
very
miss us?
Yes, absolutely.
We missed you too.
Aww.
Okay, so also in the studio is Ultram's Bane.
Yes, he's a demigod. No, he doesn't need to wear a shirt.
I know who it is.
I know who it is too, and I can see him and. I am not prepared. No.
Scenarios.
I wasn't prepared. But I wasn't prepared. I know why it's Scenarios. Everybody knows why it's Scenarios who's been following Autumn's Bane.
Because why? He doesn't have a shirt on?
No, because Autumn's Bane got Scenarios this week.
Oh,
I didn't
you
tell
did?
Anybody. Yeah, I got
me?
Tired of dusting the same mechs over and over and over again. So I said, screw it. Let me take this gold and buy a classic pack. And I opened it up, and there's a Scenarios.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I promptly smacked him, because when I was in Alpha, I had gotten Scenarios with my original decks. And after the wipe, because there was one wipe where they took everything off, I no longer had Scenarios, and I've never gotten him since.
Did you have to pay money? To buy that pack, or could
they,
you have
yes,
paid money?
But they reimbursed the decks,
right.
The packs, but not what's in the packs.
Oh, that's
correct.
Awful.
Yeah, so I had some nice cards that I no longer have, but now I have nice cards that I didn't have then, so who knows?
Yeah, the forums were full of people who had, like, six legendaries, and then they, you know, got all the packs again, and they ended up with only two.
Jeez.
So, yes, that is why Scenarios is the card of the week.
Yeah, so you said we're not elite, that we're just casual. We're not scrubs, mm-hmm. are we?
Oh, no, we're not scrubs.
Okay, just making sure.
Stop that. Okay, Micmac, was there a tournament this week, or is there going to be a tournament, or what's the tourney news?
Well, a tournament just ended yesterday, and it was the Viagame Cup 3. Which took place in Romania in Bran Castle. Do you know anything about Bran Castle at all?
Yes. It's a castle. And
it's named
eat,
Bran.
They eat. They're very regular with their bowels because they eat a lot of muffins and cereal.
I did not think you were going to go there. For some...
Of course. Come on. This is Autumn's Bane we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. So that Bran Castle is... this is kind of a... dirty version of it, but it's basically the root of Dracula's castle. That's where a lot of the history comes from, I believe.
But I thought that was in Romania.
It is. It is.
Then why does it sound Irish?
It kind of does, doesn't it?
Huh. Bran is an Irish name.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, and also apparently it's some cereal that helps you out.
That's okay. You just rewrote history in my head that vampires weren't Romanian. They were Celts. Celtic vampires.
Regular.
Yes,
regular
fair
Celtic
haired,
vampires.
Fair skinned, yes.
No, they were black Irish.
Well, anyhow, so tournament took place over this weekend. And there were a total of 16 participants, 8 invited, 8 qualified. So well-known names such as Strifecrow, Amaz, Firebat, and Life Coach. And kind of funny, but almost every player had a introduction, like a little 10 to 30 second clip that was absolutely hysterical. They would play some music and have them in like slow motion at the castle. I know for Firebats, he was outside and someone yelled, "Help me!" And then it paused and it was Batman. And he had him running up, jumping over a gate in slow motion, and then running up some steps with a speed up on the camera. So, kind of funny. And then there were some other humorous events, too. But this event had a very unique rule to it, which I actually thought it was really cool. So, like for our tournaments, we have our players bring just 2 decks, right? This tournament had players bring a total of 9 decks, all different heroes.
Holy
How about
crapazoid.
That?
That's a lot. That's my word.
Right.
You stole my word.
Batman.
Crapazoid is my word.
Well, it seems like a lot, but what they do is they do some elimination. So each player has 9 decks, right? Then each player bans 1 class from their opponent. So let's say I ban your druid, you ban my priest. Afterwards, we can choose 2 classes after that. Each player chooses 2 classes. And then there's another ban. Each player bans 2 other classes from their opponent. Then each player chooses 2 classes, each player does a ban, and then there's finally 1 deck left, which you're stuck with. So you have a total of 5 decks to use, which is not
That's
uncommon for tournaments. It is a little complicated, but I kind of like that format. So you can kind of pick what you want to go, what you really don't want to go against. Well, so out of all the bans, right, here's a question for you guys. What was the most banned hero class?
Hunter.
The most banned?
He already answered.
Oh, because you guessed it?
Because I guessed it. He said, fine. Yup.
Oh, no, sorry. I was yupping Blackley. It was not Hunter.
Oh! Priest.
Nope, it was Warrior.
Because of the Grim Reaper.
Exactly. People are very, very afraid of that deck. And I don't blame them. It's a very difficult deck to play. But man, is it powerful! You predicted
it would be powerful.
That Grim, even it's more powerful than I ever imagined. I know when I go up against it, I almost want to concede because I just know I'm going to lose.
Now, did you just ignore me because I actually got the name right, or because you thought I said Grim Patron?
Well, I heard you say Reaper.
I said Grim Reaper.
Yeah, well,
because that's what I would name that deck. That's what I named my deck, the Grim Reaper. So I didn't know if that had become a meta term, and you were just so used to hearing it, you disregarded what I said.
No, I actually got it, and I thought it was some subtle humor, so I wanted to respect it.
Subtle humor? I don't do subtle humor. But that's what that
correct.
Deck is like. It's a killer.
It is. It's incredibly scary. I just recently made a Taunt Warrior deck, and I can't beat it. When I face a Grim Patron, which isn't really all that often, surprisingly enough, maybe it's because of the rank that I'm at, but I really hardly see them, but I've yet to beat one with my Warrior.
Yeah, I have a deck that does that. I'm sure somebody has perfected which cards to go in it. There's got to be a huge RNG factor, but some pros have probably negated that to some degree. But I wasn't aware. I mean, I figured it would be tough, but I wouldn't figure it would be as prevalent and as scary as, like, the Face Hunter or the Mech Mage or those others that have been dominating.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends what you have that you're going up against. If you let the Grim Patron make more Grim Patrons with, say, some smaller minions, that can be pretty devastating. But if you kill their Warsong commanders, therefore not allowing charge to any other smaller minion, you might be okay. I guess there's ways to beat it, but it's really difficult.
There's a lot of ways to over it. Black Lace had an opponent have a 2-8 on the board, and then the following turn turned it into a 32-32 and got her from full health.
One shot, boom.
To kill one
guess
shot.
What? It was
her.
A priest.
Sounds like there was a Death Lord involved too. The 2-8 yep. taunt.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the one. It was a 2-8, and then he cast the thing to double the health. So it was a 216, and then it became a 232, and then he had the health match the damage. So it was a 32-32, and when you only start with 30, it's kind of a no-brainer, you're losing.
So did you hit escape concede before he hit your face, or
no,
did you
I
let
just,
him?
I let him have it.
This is watched it happen.
Him. Yeah. It's
she like was it. In too much shock that he got the 32-32 in a single turn.
it was turn four, but still, it was. It might not have been a single turn; it might have been two turns, but it was painful. It hurt a lot, and
priestly
it
gimmicks.
Made me remind. Yes, it reminded me why I used to concede to the priests, which I don't anymore. I just squelch everybody, and I'm happy.
So, how come you don't want to make a priest deck like that and just kill everybody?
Because it goes against everything I stand for.
Speaking of which,
I like playing my priest where I can basically do the shadow, shadow bolts to the face and that kind of thing, and steal their stuff. But I don't double and pump. No, just not me. Speaking of which, what, Autumn's Vein?
Well, I just wanted to tell Micmac that I basically remember two things from the last episode that we weren't on because I listened to it.
Oh.
And they were.
I listened to it too. We were in the car together.
That you said disparaging remarks against priests.
Yes!
Which meant it's not just us.
You got me there. Okay. Hands up.
And the other thing?
Oh, I wasn't going to say the other thing, but esophoria is a muscle disorder that causes diplopia, which is double vision. It's not a disease. That's the second thing.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Esophoria is not a disease. It's a muscle disorder. Those are the two things I remember.
He does that because he's an eye guy.
Dr. Autumn Spain, MD,
yes,
PhD, 2B.
I'm not an MD, but that is my profession. So
or COA, whatever.
It was like, they're talking about eyes and I'm not on the show.
Yeah, really.
That's what they waited for you to be, gone.
It's right up your alley.
Let's move along. We have a new card back because today is June 1st. So, we have the card back of the Ninja, and we have the new card back coming out this month, which is, Darnassus.
That means they're gonna do all the cities.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That's like 8 months, 10 months or something they got covered.
So I'm still kind of eh on one and meh on the other. I still have my favorites being the Cupcake and the Maraud decks.
Which do you like but better Mac- of the two, the Ninja or Darnassus? Micmac, you go first.
Definitely Ninja back. Oh, yeah. She knows me. Do well.
he's using the Ninja, I mean, that's it. It's his back now.
That's right, it is.
Yep.
Three favorite colors, silver, well,
black
I guess gray, black, and red.
Mm-hmm. Silver, yeah. Black, and red.
But, if somebody painted a swastika with my three favorite colors, I wouldn't like it.
Oh. You really went there. Holy crap.
I did, because it's hideous, and the nice colors doesn't make it any more attractive.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
I would use it over the Darnassus back.
See, if the Darnassus one wasn't pink...
It wasn't
actually...
pink. It's green in it.
No, it's
kind of
pink.
It just looks
pink.
Like there's, I don't know, there's. It just looks like the trees are moldy. I wasn't pleased with it.
I'd be very pleased with it if it wasn't the pinkish border.
So you want a nice royal purple?
Oh, I like purple.
Oh, yeah, royal purple's good.
I just see elves wearing pink. Maybe blood elves, but not night elves.
But you already have the new card back. You didn't even have to play a game.
That is correct.
And I only had to play one game and win, and I've got the new card back. Because we both did pretty well. Yep, I got to 15, and Autumn's Bane got to 14 this period. And I just didn't... I got to 15, and there was a lot of crap going on in our lives. So I stayed at 15 and just did casual for a couple weeks so that I could have a good, decent rank when we ended. Next month, which is this month, I'm gonna push my shaman and see what I can do with it. And I'll see. I mean, if I get to 14 and then I go all the way back to 20, so I go all the way back to 20. But this month, I'm gonna crack down and just play the shaman.
Yep.
Well, that segues nicely into what I was gonna say.
Yes.
So
segue.
It's been a while since I hit 14. I've only hit 14 once before. I've hit 12 once, and those are like my two high ones. And I think I've hit 15 two or three times, but I usually just don't play enough games to get that far. But we were away for a tragic reason, but we were away for a week. And so we weren't playing Warcraft or Heroes of the Storm, but we had our pads with us. So we did a lot. We did some Hearthstone. I wouldn't even say like a ton, but we did enough that would, so we ended up ranking. And I'm looking at the placard. I actually took a screenshot of the thing I got this morning when I logged in. It says, Mace Season 2015, Chosen Orc with the 14. You have achieved the rank of Raid Leader. And the next line is what intrigues me because I don't remember seeing it before. It says, that puts you in the top 25% of our ranked play players. Is that new?
Yeah, I remember seeing that last month and maybe even the month before that, but it's relatively new.
Yeah, it's nice. Pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when they did the chart on the website that showed, you know, how many percentage of people get here. But I don't remember ever seeing that before. So getting into the top 25 percentile is not too shabby. And I probably could have gone further, but when I'm 2 days away from the end of the season and I hit something like 14, I'm like, I'm not going to push my luck. Because guess what else happens at rank 14?
They become four stars to go through.
At rank 14, I came out at today at rank 20. I didn't have to play a single game.
Oh, you mean that way. I thought you were meaning by the stars.
Nope. By hitting rank 14, I automatically got put to rank 20 in the next season. So I didn't have to play a single game to get my next card back. So that Darnassus card back is mine without having played a single game. Well, I had a quest today and I won both of those, but that's besides the point.
Cool.
Wait, anyway, I think it's cool that it says top 25%. And I'm wondering if it gives other percentages for other ranks. Have you seen that, Mac?
Yes. So I finished at rank 13 this past season. And for me, it said top 20%.
Oh, so
and
just
I was
a matter
at 15
of...
and mine said 30%.
All right, so it's like 5% per rank.
Yeah, but it does start to probably level off at some point as you get further down because
right.
It's
it can't
not
be
enough.
Consistent all the way through, but in that range, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on, Autumn's Bane, have you got our Facebook page open?
I do.
Long ago, we got a comment on Facebook that we wanted to address, but then expansions happened and other things happened, and we put it aside, and we're going to address it today. Would you kindly read it and give credit where credit is due, and then we're going to run with it?
Yes, on April 7th at 5:25 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
I will just use his first name. Scott said the following. We're finally getting to it, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Like a month later. Hey there, just a quick question for the show. I was wondering if there's a site that explains some of the terms used in Hearthstone, in particular deck archetypes such as ramp, token, mid-range, and control. There's plenty of information that explains general game terms like board control and mana curve, but I'd like to know the difference between a control paladin and mid-range paladin. Thanks. Still loving the show. So we're going to talk about some of these things, but let's make sure mm-hmm. we also address his specific questions.
Yeah. I have a list of, 10 or 12 different deck types. I'm going to read them really quickly. And then I'm going to... I'm not going to read them very quickly. I'm going to alternate between Autumn's Bane and Micmac going first. I'm going to throw out the name of the type, and you're going to give me like 15 words or less what the deck is really about. Starting with Micmac, what is a ramp druid?
Oh boy. Okay, a ram druid.
We can't hold this to 15 words.
Okay, you could have more than 15 words, fine.
Okay, so a ram druid is basically a druid that tries to get out the big boys, big bad boys, as quickly as possible with innervates and wild growth so that you can have, say, a turn one Emperor Thorison, for example. All right, that's a ramp deck when it's turn one or turn two and you have a big old boy just sitting out there ready to go to your face. That's
I just wet my pants thinking of a turn one Emperor Thorison.
I did that. Oh my God. I did that 2 weeks ago.
Oh my God.
Yes, it was awesome. I was just fooling around with my brother-in-law. We were just kind of doing some deck testing. And I had the coin. I had two Innervates. And I had Emperor T in my hand. And for turn one, I had Emperor T on the board.
Was there a turn two or did they concede right then and there?
We kept playing. Just for kicks. It was just good a casual game opponent. With friends. Yeah, no, honestly, okay. he knew he was going to lose, but he was like, wow, that's the dream right there. I'm like, yeah, I guess it kind of is, right?
Well, that's the perfect way to start the ramp, because all the other cards are going to get cheaper and cheaper until they get him out of there.
Isn't it? Yeah, no, that's I didn't think about that, but yeah, they're absolutely right.
All right, the next one, Autumn Zane, easy one, Weapon Rogue.
Why is that easy? Okay, so obviously...
It's
as we
rogue.
Discussed a couple of weeks
with
ago,
weapons.
It's going to have a lot of weapons. But more importantly, it's all of the weapon cards. It's the Blade Flurry. It's the poisons. It's try to do as much damage with those weapons as you can as quickly as possible and combo them in for the perfect kills. Is that brief enough?
Yeah.
Micmac, you have anything to add?
No, you just... make a weapon, make it big, and just slap in the mouth. That's kind of what a weapons rogue does.
In the mouth.
In the mouth. That's kind of like a face druid. Face hunter, I mean. Well, why
but
don't we
mouth.
Go with the face
hunter?
Is
that hunter? A mouth rogue? Face hunter and mouth rogue?
Mouth rogue.
Mouth rogue. Why don't you go with the face hunter, Micmac?
All right, face hunter. So there is a symbol on Twitch of an orc, and it's called Smork. If you type into Twitch chat, capital S, capital M, capital O, R, C, you will get a face of an orc. A face hunter is a deck that literally plays a minion, drags to the face of the hero, assuming there's no taunt in the way, and releases the mouse button. That is a face hunter. You never look back. You never trade. You just hit face.
Okay. Anything to add on his main?
I don't know. It's what helped get me to 14 this week.
Awesome. Frost Mage, Anna's Vein.
Why are you giving that one to me?
Okay, forget it. Demon Lock. Do the Demon
I've never
lock.
Played one.
Do a Demon Lock.
Well, I don't know. It just might be common sense there. I play a Warlock deck with lots and lots of demons and cards that affect demons. Unless there's something obvious that I'm missing, that's really all there is to it.
Some of them are self-explanatory.
I don't think there's a trick to that. It's just use a lot of demons, use cards that, like the Void Caller, so that when he dies, demons come out. Just demons that play off of each other. There are cards sacrifice a demon to do this. There are cards that damage other minions but'll buff demons. So that's what I take to mean a demon deck.
Agreed. A demon lock.
What do you think, Micmac? Micmac's got to correct me because he plays on the ladder more, and I could be getting these wrong.
So I've seen two types of demon lock decks. I've seen one that is kind of like a hand lock deck, and a hand lock deck is a warlock that basically life taps early on so that they can play big minions early. So they might play a Molten Giant on turn 5. They might play a Twilight Drake or a Mountain Giant on turn 4, for instance, turn 5. I've also seen demon locks that have a bunch of smaller demons, like Flame Imps, and of course Void Caller is kind of synonymous with both of those two decks there, so you can get your demons out for free and get some tempo, which we'll probably talk about at some point in the next few moments. But yeah, I've seen them... be a little bit more have bigger demons in there. I've seen smaller demons in there, but it's all about demon synergy.
Right. There's a song so that had that, right? Demons for nothing, imps for free.
Oh God, shush. Okay, so Yeah, Demonlock is a pretty self-explanatory title. Frostmage also. Have you played a Frostmage, Micmac?
You know, that Freezemage, Frostmage, that's one deck I've probably never played, but really interests me a lot.
It's a control deck, basically, isn't it?
Right, yeah, it's absolutely a control deck. You don't really have a lot of minions, but you kind of try to get them done at the end. So you might use, like, Alexstrasza to really deal damage at the end, reducing your opponent's health to 15, because that's what she does. She sets an hero's health to 15, yours or an opponent, whatever you prefer. Then you have Fireballs, and you have Ice Lances, and you have Frostbolts. You have all these different spells to sort of, like, beat them at the end. And the way that you deal with the
Blizzards
board,
that freeze people so that the Ice Lances do more damage.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. And the way that you deal with the board of minions is that you use, like, say, a spell like Cone of Cold that freezes the minions on the board, or Frost Nova that freezes all the minions on the board, and then you play a Doomsayer. A Doomsayer, and he says, "The end is coming!" He kills all the enemy minions, or all minions on the board, at the start of your turn. So that's how you deal with the board. Did I miss it?
Now, this may have even been before Micmac started, but that deck goes so far back that Blizzard hit it with a massive nerf bat.
Yeah, that one was nerfed.
There were like three frost spells that were all nerfed in the same patch.
That was at the very beginning.
Yeah, I don't remember what exactly were the card mana costs and stuff, but I remember that that deck was like one of the most powerful
decks
around.
Blizzard, Cone of Cold, and one other were the ones that got hit. I'd have to go look it up. I think it was the same time that they did the first nerf on Unleash the Hounds.
Okay. Autumn's Bane, the Mill Druid.
Okay, so I've said this before. I'll say it again. In Magic the Gathering, there's a concept called artifacts, which are cards that don't belong to a specific class that can help any deck. And there was a whole expansion for artifacts, and one was called a millstone. And the millstone basically enabled the drawing of extra cards, I may have the card wrong, but it involved card draw. So I think it hurt your opponent. It did 2 damage every time your opponent took a card. There were a series of events, and they involved drawing cards and taking damage. So there might have even been 2 artifacts involved. But the millstone was involved somehow. It's 30 years since I played that deck. And in any event, to bring it over to Hearthstone, you force your opponent to draw cards. Only there's no artifacts in Hearthstone. In this case, you get fatigue at the end. When you have no cards to draw, you are taking damage. Your opponent has figured out ways to mitigate this with the cards he has in his deck. So even when he's getting extra card draws, he's making good use of those. But it's making the opponent draw lots of cards, run out of cards, have a handful of cards that get wasted because the hand is full and you can't take anymore, and then just resource you out until you're just dead. And it hits you in 2 ways. It makes you discard cards because you can't hold anymore, and it makes you take damage. So it's until recently, it hasn't really been able to work, but recent expansions have made that deck viable, usually more with a druid. Because of Nourish? Is that it, Micmac?
Well, I was going to say Tree of Life. And Naturalize is probably what you're thinking of.
Naturalize. I know it started with an N.
Yeah. Yep. Partial credit, right?
Yeah, partial credit.
Okay. Micmac, Tempo Mage.
Okay. So I love the idea of Tempo. And so Tempo, to me and to a lot of people, the way that I'll describe it is, tempo one-ups your opponent, okay? So you're doing something that gives you some sort of kickback, and then additional kickback that is a huge benefit to you, okay? And it hinders your opponent. For example, a great tempo card, if all the stars line up, is Black Knight, okay? Black Knight is 6 mana. It's a 4 attack, 5 health minion, just like a Yeti. Yeti costs 4, Black Knight costs 6. Black Knight destroys a minion with taunt, all right? So if your opponent has, say, a Tyrion out there, all right, and you throw down your Black Knight, and you destroy that Tyrion, you're doing two things. Number one, you're putting a solid body on the board. Number two, you're destroying an enemy minion, okay? Assassinate, which destroys destroys an enemy minion, costs 5 mana. A Yeti costs 4 mana. Together, it's 9. So you're doing an assassinate, you're using an assassinate and a Yeti for 6 mana with the Black Knight. That's amazing tempo, because you just probably just completely changed the game around for yourself.
So that sounded like you were throwing some rogue cards in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, okay, because I had said tempo mage. You confused me.
Yeah, sorry. I just
went straight tempo. Okay.
Yeah, I went straight for tempo.
Don't confuse people.
All right, sorry, folks. But a tempo mage, from what we're seeing right now, uses the new Flame Waker card that we got from Black Rock Mountain. So you might have two of those out or one of those out. And anytime you cast a spell, Flame Waker deal 2 damage randomly. One each time. It could be different targets, could be the same target, completely random. So you have those two out there. You play some spells, you get extra damage from those two minions that are on the board, and they can still attack. So you're basically dealing damage for essentially for free. And that gives you tempo. You're doing extra for nothing. You're one-upping your opponent.
Interesting.
I want to go back to the millstone again, because okay. I just looked it up. It was a mono artifact, which meant it could only be used once. For 2 mana, which is the resource in Magic the Gathering, take the top 2 cards from target player's library, which is their deck, and put them in target player's graveyard. So it was
so
just
cool.
Take them right out of the deck and put them right into the discard pile and never even get to touch them. So, that's where the name came from. So what
all right, this is random. I don't know if you know the answer to this, kind of like, you know, right here on the spot, but is there a card in Magic that you can organize your opponent's deck? Anything that you can think of?
Organize their deck? There were cards that let you look through their decks and take cards. I mean, you know what the priest does now? We think that's bad enough? In Magic the Gathering, you could actually look through and take the card you wanted.
There was when I did play Magic, there was a blue deck, and there was a card called Bribery, and I know that you could, like, look through your opponent's deck and take a card. But could you ever, you know, shuffle their deck as how you wanted, or put, like, say, a card from your opponent's deck on the top of their library, and then millstone it so it's gone forever?
I'm sure there was. In fact, in early Magic the Gathering, a little detour here, the very first editions of Magic the Gathering, there was something called an ante. You would take the top card from each person's deck, and that was the ante. You didn't play with those cards, but whoever won got both cards. And there were cards in the game that would steal the card to play and let you keep it at the end. They had to change it and get rid of it.
Yeah, people were getting
but,
mad.
Yeah, and then eventually they got rid of the ante thing altogether because parents got mad about the whole gambling thing. I lost some pretty good cards that way.
Wow, that's awful.
Yep, people started coming up with mulligans. Like, the top card is like the best card in my deck. You can't have that, but you can have the next 2. And it just got crazy out of hand.
I would hate that. I would
never
play.
Friendships would break up over it. It was horrible.
Oh, man.
Back to Hearthstone.
The Hearthstone, right. You can't even trade a card.
Right, no, exactly. Can't. Okay, the Handlock. Jump right in, whoever.
Well, I kind of spoke about the Handlock already, but Handlock is my second favorite deck. Deck type, I guess. After Control Warrior. I play it almost as much as the Warrior. But the Handlock is, you sort of sit back, you make your hand as big as possible, and then you have cards that work off having all those cards in your hand. A Mountain Giant costs 1 less for each card in your hand. Mountain Giant is 8/8, initially costs 12. You can play that guy for 4 mana. You know, that's pretty sweet. Twilight Drake, it's a 4/1, 4 mana, and its health increases with the number of cards in your hand. You can have a 4/10 Twilight Drake. Pretty awesome right there. There's Molten Giants in there, so your health lowers. And then once your health gets so low, you might play Lord Jaraxxus, which now becomes your hero. And you now have 15 health, and you have an amazing hero power of summoning a 6/6 minion for 2 mana. You can also attack for 3 attack, because he has a weapon. Yeah, Handlock is a pretty difficult deck to play, and you taunt up those giants with some with some taunting minions like Defender Vargas or the Sun Fury Protector, which give adjacent minions taunt, and you just you have a very scary board, and you have some control cards in your hand, such as Siphon Soul, which destroys a minion, and you gain 3 health back.
Okay. Autumn's Vein, anything? I would say no.
I was waiting for you to tell me. Oh, you wanted me to comment on the same
thing. I didn't know if you wanted to.
I'll give you your turn.
Okay, then go with this. You'll like this one. Your Aggro Warrior.
Oh, yes. So, most people are used to the opposite of Aggro Warrior. Did we discuss Control Warrior yet?
Nope.
Okay. So, Aggro Warrior is the warrior that is kind of like the Face Hunter. It's fast. It has fast weapons, fast minions. It has ways to make those fast minions even more powerful, like those trolls that pump up, you know, get a couple of trolls down, get one of those, oh, God, I'm so old, I forget all the time. The Warsong Commander that lets you charge. So you put the trolls out while they're still weak. You put the Warsong Commander out. You do like a whirlwind or something. Everybody takes damage. Suddenly you've got more powerful minions that can charge over. Because the Warsong Commander gives the minion charge. And then it doesn't matter what their power becomes later in the turn. They still have charge. So you could pump something up to like 10 power. It doesn't matter. It still has charge because it had charge when it came out. So anyway, things like that. The faster blades, like the, was the 3-2 axe, whose name I forget, Micmac, help me out.
Fiery War Axe.
The Fiery War Axe. So just fast ways. So you're whacking your opponent with fast minions. You're whacking them with weapons at the same time. And, you know, you're going over fast and killing. I have lost to some... especially earlier in the game, I've had warriors beat me in 4 or 5 turns tops. It was amazing how fast that some warrior decks could take you down.
Mm.
And these days, there are other ways to really stomp you with the warrior, but they're not quite as fast with those grim patrons, are they?
No.
They still womp you, but they're not as quick as the traditional aggro warrior.
Okay, next one is...
wait a second.
Oh. What happened to the 15 words or less?
You bypassed the warrior expert. He's got to be able to add to that.
Add to that, McMack.
So before this whole Grim Patron, you know, stuff came out, I tried making aggro warrior decks, and I could never get one that I thought was good enough to take the ladder. They're a little inconsistent, but, you know, at times they do work. But what we're seeing now is more so of the Grim Patron, you know, thingy thing with the warriors and making a bunch of little dwarves that just go to your face, and the warrior of the Grim Patron deck draws half their deck before you even have 20 cards drawn. Or the other way around, before you have 10 cards drawn. They're just superior in their card advantage over you, too.
Yeah, and the meta changes things, and the addition of new cards also changes things. When this game was new, like back in beta... that deck I just described was more viable, but the addition of all these other cards, I think, has made it less so. I could be wrong, but that's my opinion.
No, I can get behind that.
Okay, and we've done the control. We did the control. Control Paladin is... Oh, we've got two controls to talk about. Control Paladin, we'll do them together. The Control Paladin and the Control Warrior are popular. Describe those. Micmac, it's your turn.
Control Paladin? Yuck.
Yeah.
Yuck. I don't like Control Paladin. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I struggle to beat it with my Control Warrior. It just matches up against Control Warrior very well.
Are we talking 40-minute games?
Oh, yeah. We're talking like, go make yourself 2 cups of coffee and grab a Diet Coke. It's going to be a long night.
They're pretty similar in strategy and makeup, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you basically have a slow intro, you start ramping up in the middle, and then the big boys come out at the end. And, you know, it's sort of a race of who can clear the most minions. The way that you beat a Control Paladin as a warrior is that you get rid of Tyrion as soon as possible. I mean, we're seeing, like, some Dragon Paladin right now, which I'm not really a huge fan of. I'm not really a fan of Paladin in general, but Control Paladin has cards like Lay on Hands, where you have it costs an awful lot. It costs 8 mana, it heals you, and it draws you 3 cards. So that can just be a nightmare to deal with. They also have other cards that heal you, like I can't think of its name right now, but it says Justice when it comes out. It's 5/6, heals you for 6. I can't remember the name of that card. They might have Anti-Kill Bots. Oh, and what's lovely, too, is that they have the Aldor Peacekeeper. Follow the rules. The 3 mana, 3/3, that changes a minion's attack to 1. Very, very frustrating. Consecrate, quality to clear your board. Quality making every minion's health 1. Consecrate dealing 2 damage to all enemy minions. It's just devastating.
Yeah, and
it's,
Holy Light, restore 6 health for just 2 mana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a warrior has armor, the paladin has heals.
Yep, that's the trade-off.
Yep. Yep, exactly, and, you know, it's, I really, when I beat a Control Paladin, I just, like, jump out of my chair and go, yes, gotcha.
Okay, the Zulok, Autumnsbane?
Okay, so basically you're, I think, my opinion from what I witnessed is this was born of the Murloc deck. Remember how we always saw Murloc decks as Warlocks? Like, why is it always the Warlock that plays the Murloc deck? It's the idea of getting as many quick, dangerous minions out there as possible, using your hero power to constantly draw cards, and just overwhelm, you know, in Magic we call these weenie decks, but it's a really efficient way of using a weenie deck to get you. Just the best small, fast cards, and cards that are also small that can be pumped, the token cards that when somebody clears the board, you've got a bunch of instant minions there already because they all spawn something else, like the Haunting Creepers and the, you know, the Gnome with the Dragon and the, you know, anything that spawns a token. But they're just small, quick, horribly fast and annoying decks, just like Murloc decks. But I think Murloc deck was what gave birth to the Zoo deck. Micmac, what do you think?
So Zoo is an interesting deck type because it's aggressive. You have some powerful, low-cost, sticky minions that kind of stick on the board for a while. But it's kind of like Control in the sense that you make proper trades with them, and you still have minions left over where your opponent may or may not. It's a really powerful deck, doesn't cost a lot of dust to make, and it's great for new players, great for expert players. Really, really cool deck type.
The last one is the Mech Mage. Well, I'm sure there are more out there, but... that's what we're talking about tonight is the Mech Mage, because we have other things to talk about and we're rounding down the hour. So, it's pretty basic with the Mech Mage.
Yep, I mean...
choose the mechs.
Yeah, pretty much. You're a mage that has mechs. The most common type is a more of aggressive style. I play more of like a mid-rangey type. Mid-range is a weird word because it's not quite control, it's not quite aggro. Kind of falls in the middle. It could be aggressive, could be control-y. Depends on how you're playing it and what
cards
you have in your hand.
And that was one of Scott's questions. What is a mid-range deck? So it's not aggro, it's not control, it's something in the middle.
Yeah, you have both cards on both spectrums, but you have a good curve of minions when you're like 3, 4, 5 minions are most abundant in your deck, mana costing.
So probably the bulk of basic decks out there fall more into that.
Since we're talking about the Mech Mage deck, I want to mention a mage I came in contact with today, or actually not today, yesterday. I talked to Autumnsbane about this. I don't know if it was a glitch or if it is the way the card plays, but this is what happened. We were basically struggling through each other, and the mage was just about to run out of cards, had like 1 or 2 cards left. And at the very, very end of his turn, he casts Jeeves. Now, Jeeves is at the end of each player's turn. That player draws until they have 3 cards. He had no cards left. I still had a good amount of cards. When he played Jeeves, he got a card. When he was about to get the second card, the voice calls out, "I'm out of cards!" And I expected to see fatigue. But he didn't fatigue. He got 2 more cards. So now he's sitting there with 3 cards in his deck after it had already declared he didn't have any in his hand. I'm sorry, nothing in his deck. He had 3 in his hand. It had just already said it had fatigued at the first one, so he was able to get two more that I don't know where they came from. Maybe it redid his deck. No idea. So I killed Jeeves really quickly because I didn't want another turn to go by where he got three more cards. Have you ever seen that happen?
So you're saying that he fatigued first?
He fatigued first.
He threw them out of cards?
Mm-hmm. He drew one of the three cards. He had none in his hand. Drew a first one, and it was legitimate because it was still left. After that, that was the last card he had. It said, I'm out of cards. And instead of seeing fatigue, I saw two more cards get added to his hand. And at first I thought, okay, maybe I've got a glitch in my screen, and maybe it just looks like he has cards and maybe he doesn't have cards. But he did. He had cards to play. So, I didn't take any chances. I obliterated his Jeeves, and then I went on and won the game but because he fatigued out. But I didn't want to risk leaving Jeeves there just out of curiosity to see if it would happen again.
That player draws until they have three cards. So maybe it just takes it literally and gives mm-hmm. the player three cards, even if there's nothing left in their deck.
So there's a reason to hang on to Jeeves. Yep, there's a reason to hang on to Jeeves till the last moment, because maybe it'll extend the life of your deck.
Maybe it was a bug, or maybe it's supposed to. That's what she's asking you, McMack. Have you seen this happen?
Never. I mean, with that interaction with Jeeves and everything, no. I mean, I can't even begin to think
about
what happened.
It was interesting. I'd love to try to recreate it, but I have no idea how to, because you'd have to get to the point where you're playing against somebody who's letting you use up all your cards so that you could try this, and you have to have Jeeves in your hand. So
when
we
have time, maybe we'll have to design a deck and reproduce the scenario with one of us having Jeeves.
We'll try.
I have a gold Jeeves.
So it was
never
interesting. Autumn's Bane, you had a question for us.
Did I?
You had a comment you wanted to talk to that you were saving for the show.
I did it earlier. It was the thing about the rank 14.
Oh, I thought that was just... Okay, never mind. Then we'll move on to emails. We've got two emails this week. One is Akila had a play of the week that he shared with us. Hi, guys. Today I was playing my priest, don't judge me, against a paladin and mulliganed for the usual power word shield and healer. What I got instead was a mind control and a thought steal. For four turns, I drew cards but had no minions to play. All the while, my opponent's board was filling up with the usual shielded minbots, piloted shredders, knife jugglers, etc., etc., and smashing my face. On turn three, my only play was a thought steal, and I got Tyrion. I knew that my opponent would be playing it at some point, and I hoped my mind control would take it when they did. It felt like the dream to steal her Tyrion and then play my own and have the Tyrion twins on my priest team. But the dream seemed unlikely to come true because due to bad card draw on my first minion was played on turn 5, a 3-3 antique healbot to keep me alive. My face was being pummeled every turn and I thought my chance was lost. But the game then turned. I stole her shielded mini-bot on turn 6. On turn 7, I played my wild pyromancer. With the spells that I had been taking up space in my hand to that point, cleared most of the board. On turn 8, I played my Tyrion with the obligatory greetings. On turn 9, I cleared their muster for battle with a Soul Priest circle combo. And when Tyrion came down on the other side, I cashed in my 10 mana, played my mind control, and my opponent quit. Sometimes I wish there was a save game feature. This would have been in the archives faster than we said, well played. Well, one of us did. Cute email, and nice. I agree with that. I've always wanted the save game feature because sometimes people do things so quickly that they scroll off and you can't even look to see what cards were played to make something happen. I'd love to be able to replay games.
Yeah, just throw it a replay mode. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think it would take a lot of data to save. I mean, I'm not a computer programmer, but I can't imagine it being that file consuming.
Well, you could do it in Heroes of the Storm, and that's much more intense of a game.
Oh, yeah, you can, can't you?
Yes, yes, you can.
And to think I like tequila.
That was a well played.
I didn't know he was evil.
He asked you not to judge him. Okay, Flintlock also sent us an email that we want to discuss briefly. Hello, Worthy Opponent Podcast. First of all, I wanted to say thank you for all the work you put into the show. I've only listened to about 20 or so of the podcast, but I'm slowly working through the backlog of episodes. I'm interested to hear your experiences with ranked play that has been similar to mine, in that I find getting to rank past rank 18 to be harder than rank 17, 16, and even 15. Every time the season ends, I dread playing my first few matches because I get tossed around continuously, especially in the rank 19 matches. I understand that early in the month I'm more likely to play against better players that are simply on their way back up the ladder after being set back to a lower rank, but this has happened too many seasons in a row to be a coincidence for me. The last three seasons, once I break past rank 18, I've gone on winning streaks until I landed somewhere around 14, where I bob up and down from 13 to 15 for the next couple of weeks. Do you guys have similar experiences with finding certain lower ranks harder to get past than others? As a side note, I find the matches higher in the ladder to be more exciting. You never know what kind of decks you're going to be playing against, and I never get mad, even when I lose, because I'm having so much more fun. I also find that players rage quit less and are more likely to give a well played at the end of the match, although I doubt this is the case for everyone. Thank you for your time and keep up the great work. I'm really mad at myself that I was unable to participate in the last tournament you guys held, but I look forward to playing in the next one. Happy Hearthing, Flintlock. I totally agree. Sometimes even getting to rank 20 takes a long time, and then all of a sudden you're coasting, you know, 17, 16. So I'm kind of seeing what I think a lot of people play hard at those first ranks.
Well, I think he's right too. I could swear it took me forever to get out of 19 and 18, and then once I hit 17, things started easing up. I have a couple of theories. One is that, and he alluded to this in his letter, that once you get higher on the ladder, you're seeing the same decks all the time, so you're used to playing against them, so you know how to play against them. Whereas at the bottom, you've got a bunch of people who just throw decks together, and it could be anything, and you're just not prepared for it. You think it's an aggro deck, it turns into control, and vice versa, and you're like seeing cards you've never seen before because nobody plays them. I don't know if this is true, these theories, but it is odd that 19 and 18 seem harder for me than 17 and 16.
The chat room thinks that there's gold farmers at 20 to 18, and that the second idea would be skilled players deliberately losing to face less skilled players.
Yeah, if they want that golden hero, I could kind of see that. I think people have been reported doing that in the past.
Well, what's your opinion, McMack? You didn't weigh in on this.
Well, so personally, I've always had trouble on the even ranks, so let's say 20, 18, 16, 14, you know, and you know, further down from there. I don't know. For some reason, I just remember being stuck on even numbers rather than odd. Like, I'm ranked 17
right
now.
So I shouldn't go for 13 when I hit 14. That's what you're saying.
Yep. Just there it is, end of the season. Just call it. You got 1 week left? Too much work. There's not enough time to get down to 12 from there on in. But, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of, like, different plateau levels. I think that, obviously, early in the season, just moving is difficult because everyone's still kind of where you left off. You wait a week, you wait 2 weeks, it becomes a lot easier. But there's, like, shelves. So, like, 18 is a shelf. And then I feel like 15 is, like the next shelf. Like, just getting to 15 is pretty difficult. And then from there, it's, like, rank 12. And it goes, you know, further on down the line. Then once you get to rank like 5 to 1, it just gets ridiculous because there's no more win streak bonuses. You know, you get 1 star per win. And people have said, I've never been legend or anything, but people have said it takes just as long to go from 25 to 6 as it does to go from 5 to legend.
Or the other way around.
Hmm. Right.
Or the other it way takes around. Just as long to go from 5
Same
to legend
difference.
As it does.
Yeah.
All right. Just a quick shout out to Dusty. Thank you for the 5-star review on iTunes. And Micmac, we're on to you playing with people's decks again.
Oh, the deck test is happening again. This week, I chose a Zulok deck by Ephesus. He says, here is just sharing a deck that has taken me past rank 10 hump. Look, there's an even number right there, an even number, rank 10, all the way to my personal best rank of 5. Awesome job, Ephesus. So their deck includes 2 Power Overwhelming, 2 Abusive Sergeants, 1 Flame Imp, 2 Void Walkers, 2 Dark Bombs, 2 Direwolf Alpha, 2 Haunted Creepers, 1 Iron Beak Owl, 2 Knife Jugglers, 2 Nerubian Eggs, 2 Imp Gang Bosses, 2 Imp Plosions, 2 Defender of Argus, 1 Pilot of Shredder, 2 Void Callers, 2 Doom Guards, and a Lotheb. So obviously a Zoo deck is you know, a well-known deck. People understand it, how to play. You have cheap, inexpensive, but sturdy minions out there. But he has his own personal flair to his deck here, which is pretty cool. Well, I tested this deck today, and because it was the start of the season, I really didn't care if I was going to lose ranks. Stars, rather. And I knew that Zoo was a pretty strong deck. I'm familiar with Zoo decks. Not this particular type with Implosions. I really haven't played around with that too much. But I had an idea how to play it. I went 4-1. This is one of the best decks that I've tested. Yeah, I was pretty happy. I expected to do well, but this is pretty well. I actually probably should have gone 5-0. I made a pretty crucial mistake my second game. My first game, I played against a priest who had a Lorewalker Cho, not from a Shredder. It didn't spawn. The priest actually played Lorewalker Cho. And I looked at him and I'm like, huh?
Really? And it was a priest.
Yeah, it was a priest. So I'm like,
so no
right,
class so... or brains.
Right.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Well, I don't have a lot of spells in my deck, so I'm thinking, yeah, sure, I'll take your spells. Why not? Well, I fell for the trap. I gave him a Dark Bomb at one point, but he gave me a couple other spells, which were pretty cool. Very helpful. And I beat the priest. Next turn, next game, I played another priest, a control priest. I played the game horribly. I lost. It was all my fault. I think I could have won, but I didn't. Game 3 was versus a mage. It was a mech mage. I won. I knew I was going to win when on turn 7, when the mage could have flamestriked, which would have saved the game, she actually polymorphed one of my minions. A little weenie minion, and then conceded. And I'm like, awesome. Great. No problem. Then I played a paladin. I misplayed terribly that game, and yet I still won. Finally was against a druid, and druid conceded to me. I won pretty convincingly.
So is this the best deck that you've played with?
I think there was another deck that somebody else owns. This is one of the best decks. It doesn't take a lot of gold. There's only one legendary in it.
And that's one you'd have gotten from Naxxramas.
Right, so if you have Naxxramas, then you're definitely going to have it. But there's... I don't even think there's any more epics. I think it's just all common, soulbound cards, and... there's a couple rares, like the Doom Guards in here. But it's a pretty cheap deck. It's a very strong deck. It's a great deck to climb ladder with because you can play a lot of games. Because it's more aggressive than most.
So a winning deck that's also a cheap deck. And one of the best decks you've actually playtested.
Yep, very definitely nice. One of the best. So thank you.
Very nice.
And you admitted playing terribly all throughout.
Oh, yeah. I played horrendous on 2 games.
So you're trying to emulate the new person with not a lot of cards.
You see, that's what I was doing.
Okay. Either of you have anything further to add to the show tonight?
I'm just really happy you guys came back.
Well, we're happy to be
back. I missed you.
Aw. And thank you for taking up space for us.
Oh, no problem. You know, it's really difficult, Blackways, to do what you do. Sort of like kind of run the show. It was hard. I had a really hard time doing that. So hats off to you.
Aw, thanks.
I did it once. It's a piece of cake. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I'm just not later. The captain.
So I guess all we right, should shout out to Zerocio for standing in
yes,
for us last week.
Thank
absolutely.
You,
thank you, Zerocio.
Absolutely. Yep. Thanks for coming in when we couldn't do it.
He's the
all
man.
All right, folks. He is. So are you, McMac. That was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is how you can get in touch with us. You can follow us on Twitter at AWorthyOpponent. You can find us on Monday nights and follow the live broadcast at twitch.tv / Holosuite Media. You can email us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Facebook at AW Hearthstone NC. Even if you put comments on Facebook and questions on Facebook, we will address them on the show eventually, even if it takes us 6 weeks. You can find us on Stitcher Satellite Radio, Google+, A Worthy Opponent. Special thanks to Holosuite Media, to Xander, the man behind the curtain, and the theme music provided by Awesome City Limits, and of course to all of you listening to us. Thank you guys, and I'm glad to be back. Happy hearthing.
The end is coming.
See ya.
So, Game of Thrones.
OMG.
Yeah.
More action than we've seen in a while.
Yeah, yeah, this is probably my favorite episode of all time.
No spoilers!
Micmac is the man. I say, Micmac, we have to leave. He's like, the show must go on. Never miss another show.
And it did.
Even if we make Xander do it.
Thank you, Zerosho.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.
Hey, Micmac.
Hey.
What do you feed an Irish vampire you want to kill?
Blood sausage?
Steak and potatoes.
Oh.
What the hell?
Steak.
Yeah,
and
yeah, we got it.
I get it. Well,
Somebody shut his microphone off.
I get the steak part. What about the potatoes? Is that just there for humor?
Like Irish. Extra?
Oh, yeah.
Or is that too much of a pop culture reference for you?
Oh, no, I understand that. I mean, I live in Boston, so everyone's Irish up here. That's why I said blood sausage.
You know, yeah, vampires right. Don't typically like steaks. It gives them heartburn.
Oh, my God. I'm going into the other room now and shutting his microphone off. So, see you later.
I'm here all night. Tip your waitresses.
Wait, there are tips?